This is ESPN Radio.
Jerry's been chasing that since 1995, the last time they made an NFC Championship game. And he busted that whole ball club up, you know, bringing in Barry Switzer, getting rid of Jimmy Johnson. He still hasn't put Jimmy Johnson in the Cowboys' Ring of Honor. The Jimster is in Canton, and Jerry refuses
petty
to put him
petty.
In the Ring of Honor because he's so petty and he's so envious that Jimmy and the players of those Dynasty Cowboys got the credit and he didn't. So here we are with that eerie sound every single evening. It sounds like a wolf in heat. Right, trying to find that next Lombardi, and he hasn't been able to. So here he is. He's got a hell of a shot this year. They've got a remarkable team, but Dak has to cut down on the picks, which is something he's never really done before. Last season, going back to his days at Mississippi State, that's number one. You have to take care of the football, and that defense has to put them in advantageous positions to steal some points during games.
And Dak knows that. He said that I'm not going to have double-digit picks this season. He has had double-digit picks multiple times in his career, so we will see if Dak's able to focus on protecting the football more. He is Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Amber Wilson. Find him on social at Ian Fitz ESPN. You can find me as well at Amber W Sports. ESPN Radio is presented to you by Progressive Insurance. So in terms of Dak Prescott, a quarterback that desperately needs to make it to a conference championship, win a conference championship, frankly, make it to a Super Bowl because he's got the star on the helmet, because everybody always talks about Dak Prescott. Is he overrated? Is he underrated? Well, that narrative changes drastically, Ian, if he makes it to a Super Bowl. We know how this thing works. Same with Lamar Jackson. That's another guy, a guy that when we did the NFL's top 100 yesterday, which was voted on by other players all across the league, they had Lamar Jackson in 10th as the 10th best quarterback in the entire NFL. It feels like a very different story than it's been the last couple seasons, because you're coming off of a disappointing end to the season for the Ravens. You're coming off of a couple injury-ridden seasons there for Lamar Jackson, and that contract negotiation that was hanging over their heads the last couple seasons as well. If Lamar makes it to a Super Bowl, all of that goes by the wayside. Which of those two guys, and Dak or Lamar, would benefit the most in terms of the narrative regarding their careers?
Well, to me, that's an easy answer, and that's Dak, because he does play for the Dallas Cowboys, because the expectations were set by him at such a remarkable level. That bar was high, because he came in for an injured Tony Romo, who got hurt in the preseason, had his back crunched like an accordion. I think it was out in Seattle. Dak comes in as his fourth-round pick out of Mississippi State. Nobody's really expecting anything, and he shines, to the point where Romo doesn't get his job back. That's how great he was. And he was great in his rookie campaign. He was borderline great in his second year. And then you started to see it dip a little bit. And maybe that was also to a degree the guys around him. But it's not because Dak doesn't put the grind in. He's the first guy in there and the last guy out of practice nearly every single day. And he knows he's got to cut down on 15 INTs. And he didn't even play a full boat last year. I mean, he didn't sniff 17 games, and you still led the league in INTs. If anybody can change the way they're viewed, not just with a fan base, because I think Dallas Cowboy fans, being here in Dallas, as you referenced, they love Dak. Jerry loves Dak. Nobody wants Dak to be more successful and be the best at his craft for anybody out there not named Mahomes than Jerry Jones, obviously. But if you're going to change the way you're viewed as far as a big game quarterback, Dak is the guy, in my opinion, that has to do it. Lamar, he has to stay healthy. I mean, he's won an MVP. He also needs to survive in advance in the postseason. But Lamar's narrative right now is availability. He's got to stay. He's missed the last two seasons, I mean, the last month plus of the last two seasons when you need your franchise quarterback the most. So Dak is on the field, and Lamar needs to stay on the field. That's the difference, in my opinion, between those two guys.
We'll get back to your phone calls in just a moment. Who is the biggest non-quarterback X factor in the league? 888-SAY-ESPN. Hang on for me. For me, it's Dak as well, if we're comparing those two guys. Now, for a couple of reasons. First of all, Dak is eligible for an extension here after this season. He needs the money still, and so it's a contract year for Dak. Lamar just got the bag. But if we're just talking about narrative surrounding these guys, both of these guys need it. Don't get me wrong. If I have to choose one, though, it's the guy with the star on his helmet because of the microphone. microscope that Dak Prescott lives under. And it's interesting. I referenced the NFL Top 100, where Lamar Jackson was voted on by his peers as the 10th best quarterback in the league. Dak Prescott was the 8th best quarterback in the league. I was a little surprised that Dak, according to the guys around the league, was better on this list than Lamar Jackson, but it felt like a very living in the moment list. And we discussed this yesterday. In this moment, Lamar Jackson coming off of the injury ridden seasons, and maybe he leaned into that a little bit more because of those contract negotiations this past season. Dak, on the other hand, has had his own injury concerns here over the last couple seasons, but it's the accuracy concerns with Dak that have added up coming off of this past season. He's still getting a bit more respect from his peers, but that all changes if Dak Prescott has another disappointing end to the season.
Let me ask you this, Amber.
He's the quarterback. Yes.
Does Dak need to get back to being the guy we saw in his first 2 years? Coming off the injury, he didn't scramble as much.
Right.
Does he need to get back to being that guy and just go, you know what? I'm not going to think about running, or I'm not going to pause about, I see this alley, and I'm just going to take it right now, instead of the guy we saw last year where there may have been an opening and the old Dak would have hit it, planted his foot, and gone straight up field. Instead, it was more still looking and then throwing a bad throw and making a bad decision. Does he need to get back to that quarterback that can make something out of nothing?
Well, and can he? I don't know. And what, and the protection that he's going to have in front of him, I mean, that's an issue here as well for the Dallas Cowboys. Theoretically, yes. I think the more important component of it is protecting the football, not necessarily what Dak needs to be doing with his legs, right? I mean, we know he has that ability. He has the ability to get outside the pocket. He has the ability to evade the pressure, but it wasn't all that to me. Now, I do think, and I said it earlier when we were talking about the Dallas Cowboys with two-a-days, and if you missed anything here, you can check out the podcast on the ESPN app, but I said it earlier, I don't feel like enough was made about the fact that the Cowboys did not retain Dak's favorite weapon. I thought that had everything to do, frankly, with that little bit of decline in production offensively from Dak this past season, and some of those accuracy issues. Amari Cooper wasn't there anymore, and you've got to give him the weapons around him. They have a problem there now. They're starting a rookie at the tight end position. None of that's going to help Dak. But at some point, you're the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys, and you do have a loaded roster here on both sides of the ball. Mike McCarthy's seat is hot, but your seat's always hot when you're the quarterback of that particular franchise. If he makes it to a Super Bowl or even just an NFC Championship,
I was
going to
say,
right?
Yes.
All of that changes.
NFC Championship is
yeah,
good.
All of a sudden, it's a very different conversation around Dak Prescott. Shane is calling us from North Carolina. Hey, Shane, what do you have for us on Dak?
Oh, yes. I've been a lifelong Dallas Cowboys fan, born and raised in Dallas. Dak isn't it. He hasn't been it. It's just like you were all talking about yesterday between him and Justin Herbert. And don't give me the stats. It's the eye test. That was great when he came in the league at the pre-snap reads, but the defenses have caught up to it. So they give him a look, and they switch it up when he hikes the ball, and he doesn't look off his target. Those were the main things for his interceptions, just like Dan Orlovsky broke down the game against San Francisco. Hilton was open on those two interceptions that he threw, but he was lasered in on his target. And for some reason, Dak isn't reading the field like he needs to. And I think the biggest non-X factor would be Tony Pollard for the Cowboys, because if we can't run the ball, it's going to be a long, long season, because I don't trust Dak. And like, if Jerry Jones would have had his Super Bowl had he not caved into the pressure and put Romo back in when he was healthy. And then when he didn't do that, it ruined our chances for a Super Bowl. And I don't believe Dak is going to get us there.
Thanks for the call, Shane. See, that's a Cowboys fan that's given up on Dak over these years, right, Ian? And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the narrative of Dak. I mean, Dak's one of those players. He ends up controversial. He's solid by the numbers, obviously. I mean, last season, the 15 interceptions ain't great, but he's solid by the numbers overall, season after season, and yet a lot of people don't believe that he's good enough to get them to a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, some of those weren't on him, and some obviously were. And he referenced one that where, you know, T.Y. Hilton was wide open up the left boundary, and Dak just never saw him and threw a bad pick. You also had, you know, an INT go off Noah Brown's hands that goes straight up in the air that mm-hmm. is not on Dak, but it goes on his ledger. So, like, Dak is one of those guys. That same caller if it's week 9, week 10, and the Cowboys are, you know, let's go week 10, 8-2, and Dak is third in the league in passing, you know, and he's got, you know, 15 touchdowns to two INTs, that's the same, that same guy will be going, I told you, I told you Dak is the man. I told you all along that I believed in him. That is a Dallas Cowboy fan at their core. I live here. Trust me. Heck, my wife is one of them. So there you go. I mean, they will flip on you in 2 seconds, like an Alabama fan will as well. That's just – Dallas Cowboy fans are like a college football fan. They are obsessed with their team. And if Dak is having a phenomenal start to the season, every single Dak hater will be telling you, I told you so. We had to stick with him. Mark my words.
And that's why I think – that it's Dak over Lamar who benefits the most, right? If they can make it to a conference championship game this season, finally, if they can get past the conference championship, the game, I think that's the narrative that changes even more than Lamar Jackson's because of who Dak Prescott plays for and the irrational at times of emotions of that fan base, let's put it that way. And then also us here, like we spend so much darn time on national talking about the Dallas Cowboys, right? Because they rate. I mean, the Dallas people care,
love or hate,
about the Dallas Cowboys. And because of that, people care and either love or hate Dak Prescott. I hope you love us. I hope you don't hate us. We are going to get back to your phone calls if you're waiting on the line. 888-SAY-ESPN coming up next. It is those calls. Who is the biggest non-quarterback X factor in the NFL?
This is ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Who is the biggest non-quarterback X factor in the league? 888-SAY-ESPN. That's how you join the conversation with Amber Wilson and Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio presented to you, of course, by Progressive Insurance. You can also watch us on ESPNU and on ESPN2. Let's get to the phone line. Jason is calling us from West Virginia. Jason, what's up?
Yeah, I'm just like T. Higgins, Cincinnati. I just feel like he does a lot for that offense, gets Jamar open. That's where I stand on him.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that receiver room, generally an X factor there with T. Higgins, Jamar Chase, Tyler Boyd. Lots of weapons there for Joe Burrow and Cincy.
Yeah, but I would have gone with the other guy. And T. Higgins is probably underappreciated. And you're right, that room is just naughty. I mean, there's not many wide receiver rooms in the league that are as deep and talented as they have in Cincinnati. But Jamar Chase is probably more of an impact and X factor than T. Higgins is. And that's not a dig at T. Higgins. He's an outstanding wideout. Could be a number one on some teams. But the other dude at LSU, yeah, that guy.
Right, because he's not the number one. Jamar Chase is the number one. Yeah. Now, to that caller's point, T. Higgins does take some of the pressure off Jamar Chase. I feel like Jamar Chase actually takes a little bit more of the pressure off T. Higgins, if we're talking about how that relationship works. But defense is certainly having to account for both of those guys. John is calling us from Ohio. John wants to nominate the other guy. Hey, John, go ahead.
Yeah, so I want to nominate Jamar Chase because as soon as Jamar Chase came to Cincinnati, the Bengals did a whole 360. I love Joe Burrow to death. He's the most accurate quarterback we have ever had. But Jamar Chase is literally like Deebo Samuels and Odell Beckham mixed in one. The corners have the hardest time in the world tackling him. They struggle. He's like built like a running back. He's literally the best receiver in the NFL, if you ask me personally.
Certainly one of them, one of the best receivers in the NFL. I'd have him on my list as well. And he absolutely has that chemistry between those two guys, between Burrow and Chase, goes back a long way, Ian, and it makes all the difference there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, and again, I'll just call myself out as a football fool. I was screaming for the Bengals today, Penei Sewell out of Oregon.
Over
Ja'Marr Chase, right? Yeah. And look, Sewell's going to have an outstanding career.
A lot of people were in that draft, though.
Oh, protect your quarterback.
Right.
You have a franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow. Protect him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an idiot. Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow, 2019 LSU. Yeah, I think it's worked out well. They made the right call.
Right, when the weapon works out that well. Now, given that O-line was still a big problem in protecting
and
Joe
still
Burrow.
Is.
Right?
But,
and it's still a problem.
Still the right
still
call.
A problem.
They turned the right card in.
It is a good darn thing that they hit on that Ja'Marr Chase pick. 888, say ESPN. Let's try this again, Matt from Atlantic City. Is your phone working this time? Are you inside the casino, Matt? Who's your non-quarterback X factor?
No, I'm actually watching on ESPNU right now. Good morning, Amber. Good morning, Ian. So I'm going to go with Saquon Barkley of the New York Giants. And the reason why I'm going to say Saquon is because we've seen the running back market and the running backs in general over the past 6 months. I think if he stays healthy, fingers crossed, I think he rushes for 2,000 yards. I think he has a big season. My other X factor on the defensive side that people aren't really talking about, Kayvon Thibodeau, the pass rusher for the New York Giants. Ian, I'm sure you've seen him play at Oregon. I'm going to go Kayvon Thibodeau. On the line there with Leonard Williams and Dexter Lawrence, he is poised to have a big second year. Thank you guys very much. I always enjoy watching on ESPNU.
Two good nominations there, Ian. We already talked about it. I mean, Saquon would be on my list of biggest non-quarterback X factors. It'll be interesting because if he runs for 2,000 yards, like Matt just said, is he still going to get paid or is now his body going to be used up because it's another season of high production there for a player that got a one-year deal?
Yeah, and going to Kayvon Thibodeau, you forgot A'shaun Robinson on that defensive front as well. That's a stout front four for the New York Giants. But Thibodeau, I'm expecting a big, big second year for the first-round pick out of Oregon. He's a beast.
Some people think that the Giants are going to take a step back this season. I actually do not think so.
I disagree with that.
Right. I disagree with that in part because of those weapons that you just mentioned defensively for that team. 888-SAY-ESPN. Jason is calling from Florida. Jason, did you win the Mega Millions last night? You're in my state. Somebody in our state did. Also, who are you nominating?
All right, you all know I did not win that because I would not be calling you guys right now as much
oh,
as
come
I love
on. You wouldn't give us a call if you were a billionaire. You wouldn't want to wake up with us and spend your morning with
you
us?
You know what
come
I
on,
do?
Jason.
Amber, I take my private jet over to you guys and come in person. That's what
there
I
There you
do.
Go.
That's what I'm talking about. I want to get on it with you wherever hey, you're Ian, going, whatever island you're going to next. I'm coming right? with you.
Hey, open invitation, guys. Let's go. The whole ESPN family, ready to roll. Let's do it. Let's do it.
You could buy ESPN. Well, maybe not. not with
well,
1.5
not.
Billion. Maybe not. Anyway, Told so who are you nominating here, Jason?
All right. Well, I got two real quick. Austin Eckler, offensive league running backs are asked to do a whole bunch of things. He does everything. And with Keenan Allen and Michael Williams always going down, he's that guy that Herbert and the entire offense relies on. And Ian, I'm going to give you some love right now. It ain't the Dallas Cowboys kicker, the most clutch kicker ever. Justin Tucker is so important to Baltimore.
Yeah.
Don't laugh at me, but it's the truth, man.
No,
yeah,
it's
look,
the
you,
truth.
You got to have one. They got one guy on the 90-man roster. They've got a rookie out of Notre Dame the Cowboys doing, Brandon Aubrey. That's it.
They have like the guy from the XFL. He's in training camp right now.
I got to look that up. But still, I
the
mean,
Cowboys it's, searching for a kicker. Baltimore not searching for a kicker. Nobody disagrees, frankly, with that take. I also don't disagree with the Austin Eckler take. I actually think he's a huge X factor for that team. Remember Austin Eckler? He wanted out of the Chargers. He was threatening to leave. They recognize his importance as well. They were able to get something done here in the short term. So Austin Eckler is there. He is at training camp. I do think it's those guys, those running backs that have so much to their game. I think that's the future of that position, right? I really do. Like, I think that is what helps ensure the running back position down the line, where it's not just ground and pound and it's not just blocking help in the backfield, but it's also these other components to your game, like an Austin Eckler can bring. Jeff is calling us from Ohio. Hey, Jeff, who's your nomination?
Yeah, heart tells me Nick Chubb or Ja'Marr Chase, but thinking about it, I think Travis Kelce last year losing Tyreek Hill and what he was able to do for the Chiefs, I think Travis Kelce would be that guy.
When I jotted down non-quarterback X factors off the top of my head. Both Kelce brothers made my list, by the way, but Travis Kelce certainly on that list, Ian, because I was shocked. I mean, I really thought, and maybe this was a bit of the Dolphins fan in me, so maybe I was being a bit biased, but I really thought losing Tyreek Hill was going to matter. A fool I was to that Kansas City Chiefs team. And of course it didn't, because Travis Kelce is still there.
Look, and Mahomes talked about that, and it wasn't a shot at Tyreek Hill. He just said, you know, we might be even more explosive because we have to spread the ball out even more now. And but to that caller's point, Travis Kelce, that's Mahomes' whoopee. You know, that's one where if he's scrambling and getting out of trouble, who's he looking for? The man with that glorious lip sweater now and that beautiful mustache.
You cannot stop talking about Travis Kelce's mustache.
There are not many people that can pull that look off, and he pulls it off in exceptional fashion. But 87, that's Mahomes' guy. That's his whoopee. You take him off that roster, and that could make a difference for Mahomes. Maybe not a big one, but one. Tyreek Hill, they just replaced, you know, in a different way by spreading the ball around more. But Kelce, he's just different. I mean, he's just a different dude.
And he can pull off a lot of looks. I don't know what Taylor Swift's thinking. Dante is calling us from Florida. Hey, Dante, thanks for the call. Who do you have for us?
Hey, thanks for letting me in. There's only one true X factor, and that's Odell Beckham Jr. He is going to get Lamar a Super Bowl this year. They're going to win the division, even though I'm a big Steelers fan. There's just no way. They are going to be the combo. I think Odell goes for 1,600 yards this year.
So, and listen, if he does, then obviously the Ravens are going to be an unstoppable force. And it's something that we've seen from OBJ, but it's been quite some time and some injuries ago, catastrophic injuries ago, since we saw it from OBJ. I think that it's a good signing by the Ravens. I'm really interested to see what it looks like. I don't have the same high hopes as that caller, though. And that's not because of a lack of chemistry or anything. Like, it's just where we're at with OBJ's career. I want that caller to be right, because I think it'd be so fun to watch, Ian. I just don't know if I believe that he can fully get back there to that level.
Yeah, if you get 8, 9 touchdowns, I think that's a hell of a year for Odell Beckham Jr. at this point in his career, and you cited the injuries. I think J.K. Dobbins coming back in that running back room, that's huge, along with, remember the name, Zay Flowers, wide receiver out of Boston College. Mm-hmm. He's the guy in Baltimore that could have a breakout season as a rookie wideout.
Coming up next here on ESPN2 and on ESPNU, Hard Knocks premiered last night. Aaron Rodgers, did he come off warm and fuzzy? We'll get into that.
This is ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Hard Knocks premiered last night. Ian Fitzsimmons was too busy buying 83,000 lotto tickets and then losing. Which is good news for ESPN, because when Ian plays the lottery, he plays the lottery with the entire ESPN college football radio department. And so the coverage goes on here on ESPN Radio. You can watch me and Ian Fitzsimmons also on ESPN2 and ESPNU. Also, you can watch Kimberly A. Martin, because she is joining us as well. Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, of course. And Kimberly, thanks so much, as always, for your time. Let's start with the premiere of Hard Knocks last night. I don't know if you were too busy crazy buying lotto tickets, but the New York Jets, much to their chagrin, they did make their premiere on Hard Knocks. They didn't want to do Hard Knocks. What was your takeaway from this?
That Hard Knocks is actually a great thing for them. Yeah, I stayed up and watched it. I don't play lotto. I stayed up and watched it. I'm on 2 hours of sleep because I watched it and knew that Mike Greenberg was going to quiz me on it when we do get up in a little bit. I actually thought if I did tweet, like, are the Jets and Aaron Rodgers actually, like, lovable now? Like, you see Aaron Rodgers in a different light. You see him as a fantastic teammate, as a guy with the different intricate handshakes with guys on defense and offense, the way he mentors and talks up, counsels Zach Wilson, the way he is with Nathaniel Hackett. He literally has his older brother as his OC right now, like the two of them, that rapport. You get a different side of Aaron. I will caution Jets fans from thinking like, oh, the media, they were all wrong about Aaron. Let's like pump the brakes a little bit. This guy that we're seeing now on Hard Knocks and with the Jets wasn't the same Aaron that we saw in Green Bay from the standpoint of being there from the beginning in OTAs and being seen as like this mentoring type of father figure to younger guys. So don't know if this is a new Aaron Rodgers or just a different side of him, but I like what I saw.
Or a bitter Aaron Rodgers that's trying to stick it to Green Bay.
All of a sudden he's opened up and Packer fans are going, where the hell was this the last 5 years?
All of a sudden he's team guy. He's mentor guy. Let me help Zach Wilson. Let me help the guy sitting behind me. Jordan Love's over here like, huh? What's happening? He gives back $35 million, Kimberly, to the organization. I mean, it is a very different Aaron Rodgers.
He's very different all in, and that was the big question. Whether, I mean, no one truly knows Aaron Rodgers but the people in his inner circle, so I won't profess to. But he's literally doing everything we didn't anticipate he would, and he's doing it well. And watching this team, he needs these young kids as much as they need him. I think it's a great relationship. I think Zach Wilson, what you saw, if Zach Wilson has any chance of being what the Jets thought he was going to be when they drafted him, I think Aaron Rodgers will play an integral role in that. That's a guy he revered growing up. So I love it. If you're a Jets fan, I mean, you're waking up. You might be tired because you stayed up and watched Hard Knocks, but that was an hour snippet of euphoria because you see what the potential of this team could be.
Kmart, if you were going to that joint practice today against the Carolina Panthers, what would you be watching for outside of just Aaron Rodgers?
Well, so Aaron Rodgers talked about the joint practices being sort of like a mini tune-up for the regular season because we probably will only see him a little bit maybe against the Giants in their last preseason game. So I would be looking at the protection. I would be looking at Mekhi Becton. I was at the Hall of Fame game when Mekhi Becton, he played, but he played a handful of snaps when I talked to Robert Saleh going into the game, and he said about like 20, 25 snaps for Mekhi. So how does that knee feel after two procedures? What's the protection like? And also just chemistry with the wide receivers. A couple guys said, Aaron's different. Like, man, like sometimes I don't know what he's thinking. Well, they need to get on his page. Like, there's going to be the learning curve with any new quarterback, any new offense, new players. But these guys have to be on Aaron's page because he just sees the field so differently and understands the game at such an intricate, like, genius-type level that they always have to know what he's thinking.
ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly A. Martin joining Amber Wilson and Ian Fitzsimmons. Does Aaron need to play in the preseason? Is it going to be the Zach Wilson show? Do you expect to see Aaron Rodgers at all?
So, like I said, the Giants game, the last game that they have, I believe, August 26th, late in the month. That, I've been told, Aaron has said, and I've been told by Robert Saleh, like, that would be the game where we would probably see him. Do I need to see Aaron Rodgers? A couple series against the Giants, maybe. But even if I did not see Aaron Rodgers, that wouldn't upset me. Only because, let's face it, the dude's old, man. He's going to be 40 years old during the season. Like, I know they need time and time on the field, but the fact that they have these joint practices with the Panthers now and then the Bucks, I think those are going to be really important. So if I don't see Aaron in preseason action, I can live with it. And if you do, just small amount.
I don't know how I feel about hearing Kimberly Ian call 40 old, but, you know, by football standards. Not by radio standards.
No,
everybody settle down. 40 is very young.
I'm with you, Amber. Believe me. Hey, Kmart, switch gears to the Washington Commanders.
Oh, man,
and I think Amber and I are in the minority here. Ron Rivera addresses some of his players, obviously going to the media because he was posed the question about how, quote, harsh or, you know, whatever you have, however you want to describe what Eric Bieniemy and his coaching mannerisms are toward this particular team. And, you know, there's players that Ron Rivera said, hey, you know, they're a little concerned. We took that as, and I think we're in the minority, that Ron Rivera was calling out his players going, these guys are soft, right? This guy's a two-time Super Bowl champion, and they're concerned about his coaching style. That's the way I took it. We're in the minority. I'm hearing Harry Douglas, you know, Louis Riddick saying they didn't actually like Rivera, you know, the way he answered the question.
Right.
What did you think? I think it was more of a message toward his players, not a shot at Bieniemy.
No, I thought similar to Harry and like Booger and a lot of people listening to it initially. Like initially, I was dumbfounded. Initially, I was like, "What is Ron saying?" Because the end of it also, he brought up Jack Del Rio as like, you know, Eric doesn't understand this. You know, Jack Del Rio like and I were head coaches. Like, you know, you understand when you're in that seat. And I felt like the comments undermined Eric Bieniemy, who is literally the poster child for, you know, he wants a head coaching job and he's become the poster child for the inequities in the NFL's hiring process. So I thought bringing Jack Del Rio into it was a mistake. Ron Rivera is supposed to talk to the media before practice today. And I can tell you, he knows he made a mistake in how his comments were phrased. Now, here's some context really quickly. Players, since I've been told, I talk to a lot, I used to cover the Washington football team. Now the Commanders. So I talked to a lot of people in the building. Players since the first week of camp literally were like, whoa, Eric Bieniemy, man, that guy is on 100 all the time. So there were complaints or there were grumblings of like, yo, because this is a culture shock from what they were used to last year. But Ron Rivera specifically targeted Eric Bieniemy as his assistant head coach, as his OC, because he knew a culture change was needed on offense. He likes that Eric goes 120%, and he knows that that was needed. Where Ron messed up and where he understands he messed up and what he will acknowledge today is that he didn't make it clear that this is why I brought him in. And he didn't understand that Eric is, when you talk about Eric Bieniemy, a guy who has more Super Bowl rings than Jack Del Rio and Ron Rivera. He understands what a championship program looks like. I think Ron Rivera also realizes that, you know, as what he's trying to do is say, as a head coach, you understand, like, you go hard. Like, Ron was a guy who was really hard. He was hard-nosed, military guy when he first started in Carolina. And then he eventually morphed and evolved into, like, a half situation, half hard ass and half like player's coach. And now he's more of a player's coach and you kind of evolve. And I think he was trying to say it is a culture shock. Eric will have to evolve at some point, but all of it did not come out that way. But I can tell you since those early complaints, the Commanders have actually had their best practices Sunday and Monday. They had a walkthrough yesterday and players have not been complaining about Eric Bieniemy. The intensity is better. The tempo is better. The offense looks better. So players have a better understanding of the Bieniemy way, which is literally why he was brought there, because what they were doing on offense was not cutting it.
Certainly what they've been doing for many years there in Washington ain't cutting it. So something needs to change. Mm-hmm. Kimberly A. Martin is coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Thanks, Kimberly.
Thank you.
Coming up next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN2, Dak Prescott threw 3 interceptions in practice yesterday. Is that something or is that nothing? That's next after Ian has this word from Grainger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This is ESPN Radio.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Jimmy Garoppolo threw, I think it was 7 interceptions the other day in training camp. A lot of people were freaking out about it. Me and Ian Fitzsimmons, we were not freaking out about it. If you were a Raiders fan, maybe you were freaking out about it. Was it something? Was it nothing? What if it's Dak Prescott now throwing interceptions? What if it is the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys? Is that something? Let's find out. Nuno?
All right, guys. We're going to play a new game that I just invented. No one's ever done this on radio before.
Never. Super original.
I'm going to ask you a couple questions, and you're going to tell me if it's something or nothing.
Man, you are an innovator.
I am, right? Let my boss know. all right, Dak Prescott threw 3 interceptions yesterday in practice. This is coming off of the fact of all last year he kept throwing the ball away to the other team, and he's had some hiccups now during practice early. So, Amber, is this something or nothing?
No, this is nothing. If I'm saying it's nothing when Jimmy Garoppolo is doing it 7 times, it's certainly nothing when Dak Prescott is doing it 3 times. Let me know if he does it in the regular season. Yes, he has to clean up that ball protection in the regular season. He cannot throw 15 interceptions again like he did last season. I don't care at all what happens here in training camp. This is the time, Ian, that you work out those kinks. This is the time that you take those chances. This is the time that you see if some of those plays in the playbook work and you familiarize yourself even more with some of the new looks for the offense now that Mike McCarthy doesn't have an OC. This doesn't concern me at all. Wake me up when it's the regular season.
You and I are in step on this one. So in my focus group of 1, now focus group of 2 with you, doesn't mean a stinking thing. It's training camp. It's practice. Talk about it. Channel Allen Iverson right now. And don't listen to Amber and I. Listen to a guy like J.J. Watt. He put out a video at the beginning of training camp where I guess some people were criticizing this rookie for being dominated or this, you know, free agent acquisition for struggling early on in camp. And J.J. Watt's message was, it's camp. This is where you work on things.
Man.
Thank you, Alan. This is where you do work on moves that you normally would not use, but you want to add to your resume, to your repertoire. This is where you work on stuff. When you see a pitcher in spring training scuffle, he's working on stuff. Maybe he's trying a slider that he normally doesn't use or a longer stride. That's when you actually want to make mistakes to see if you can do it in a game. So Dak throwing 3 picks for you and I? No, not a big deal. It's training camp. To fans and some people in our business, they will make a big deal out of this because it is Dak and he did throw 15 picks last year. But for me, nope, he's working on stuff.
What are we talking about?
Did AI win an NBA championship that season, though?
No.
So maybe that whole
Amber's Philly hate coming through once again. Once again, Amber hates on Philly.
Maybe practice.
You hate cheesesteaks. I mean, you hate everything Philly.
Maybe practice matters.
Here we go again.
Speaking of practice, and a quarterback that's actually been
Pat Costello too. He makes a list of things I hate from Philly.
No, I'm just right. We're gonna do that later today. But speaking of practice, a quarterback who's actually, by all reports, has been practicing real well. Daniel Jones yesterday during a joint practice with the Lions was 5 of 12 passing with a sack in 11-on-11 drills. Amber, Daniel Jones struggling during a joint practice. Something or nothing?
It's still practice, right? Now
we talking about practice, man.
Does it concern you more because it's a joint practice? Not really. It's still practice at the end of the day. We talked about it earlier in the show. And if you missed anything here, check out the podcast on the ESPN app. Ian and I both think that the Giants are better than I think some other people think. I mean, certainly aided by that conference, but also the fact that I don't see reasons for them to take a step back here. Yes, Daniel Jones got that contract. I do think Daniel Jones showed last year that he's a competent quarterback. I'm not going to say that he's Patrick Mahomes anytime soon, nor do I ever expect him to reach that ceiling. But I don't see any reason that he can't continue to build there in Daboll's offense now with some consistency with that coaching staff. So I'm not really worried about what's happening here, even if it's a joint practice.
Look, I know I'm in the minority on this one. I'm a Daniel Jones supporter. I like the guy. And I think he's going to take a step forward in his second year in this system with Coach Daboll. So I'm with you. Again, just everything that we just said about Dak, go ahead and put it in here, right here with Daniel Jones, even if it was a joint practice. Don't care. It's still practice.
We talking about practice, man.
Thank you, AI. It does not matter. He's working on stuff. We'll see. Now, he does that week one? Yeah, we got a problem because right. That's real. That goes against your ledger. This doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, let's hope that doesn't happen week one against the Cowboys. All right. The Bucs have listed both Baker Mayfield and Kyle Trask as QB1 on their first depth chart. Amber, the fact that they're both listed as QB1 on that depth chart, is that something or nothing?
I think it's something. I think it shows that this is a true neck-and-neck race between these guys. And I don't feel like that this is just a motivation tactic that Bowles is using because Baker needs a new chip on his shoulder and he needs to believe that Kyle Trask is coming for him, or the opposite, right? I think this is a reality in Tampa where this is a true quarterback competition and that coaching staff hasn't yet determined who is going to be QB1 as they head into the season. I think both of those guys are getting a real opportunity here to compete for the job. So I think it's something, Ian. I don't think it's fodder, right? I don't think it's like, hey, we know actually who's going to be the quarterback, or even who's going to be the quarterback, you know, in week 5 of the season. Like, a lot of us think Gardner is going to start at the beginning of the season in Indy, but we all know AR is the future there in Indianapolis, no matter what happens with Gardner Minshew. That's not the situation in Tampa. This, to me, feels legitimate. I genuinely do not know if it's going to be Baker or if it's going to be Kyle. If I was a betting woman, I would bet it's going to be Baker Mayfield starting the season because a lot more experience there in the NFL from Baker Mayfield. But I do think it's a true quarterback competition in Tampa.
Well, I am a wagerer, and I'm not going to wager on this competition at all. But for everything you just said, I'm going to go the opposite way and say it's nothing, because I expected this to be a competition all the way to the end of camp. So for me, it's nothing because it was expected.
All right, last one, Amber. Dalvin yes. Cook is still unsigned. Mm-hmm. Is this, if you're a Jet fan, let's do it this way. Mm-hmm. If you're a Jet fan, is this something or nothing? Yeah, Ian, yes.
Amber's a Miami fan. He's from there, but you're going Jets. Here we go. Come on.
I mean, if you're a Jets fan, it's a little something, because he ain't coming to you. Okay? All right, let's be clear about that. If you're a Dolphins fan, it's a whole lot of nothing, because he's just missing a little bit of training camp. Don't worry. He'll assimilate himself to Mike McDaniel's offense. Plus, it's going to be running back right rotation down there in Miami. He'll save his body. He'll be just fine living back at home, where he went to Miami Central High. This dude was always going to the Miami Dolphins. He was using the Miami Dolphins. I mean, he was using the New York Jets, Ian, to try to up that offer from the Dolphins. I don't think it worked. I think that there's going to end up being leaks, though. Like, oh, they came up a little tiny bit. Whether it's true or not, we don't know. I think his plan was always to go to Miami, and I think that's actually where he's going.
I'm going to say it's something only because Nuno was trying to draw you off sides going Jets first against your Miami Dolphins, and it worked.
It didn't work, though. I knew what he was doing. I knew what he was doing. It's a whole lot of nothing.
Dalvin Cook's never won a championship.
Come here. Well, that might change down in Miami. Coming up next year, our 2-a-days continues with the Ravens.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.